Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. It's good to be back. Seems like it's been going forever. But happy Sabbath to everyone. I'd like to say hello to any of our guests that we have with us. I'd like to say hello to anyone watching on the webcast. Wish you were here. Brethren, another year has nearly passed. Soon the Passover will be here. And another opportunity to live through God's holy annual holy days will be here. Are we ready for this observance? Are we ready to take the Passover? We must be ready. We must be ready. So if you're looking for a title, let's use We Must Be Ready, because that's what it's all about. Partaking of the symbols of His holy, of His broken body and shed blood means that we have been selected to know and understand God's purpose. Being chosen as one of the elect to know God's truth carries sobering responsibilities for each and every one of us. We can't approach this event lightly. This is something that we have to take seriously. The Passover is the first event beginning again God's annual season of holy days, which reveal His plan of salvation for the whole world. That plan, hidden from the world in general, reveals why we cannot take this event lightly. That plan reveals that we have been called to know and understand God's plan for mankind. And if we look at Matthew 13, verse 11, Matthew 13 and verse 11, Jesus said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." Brethren, the sobering truth is that we've been called in a special calling or time to qualify ahead of the world so that we can be used by God in Christ to help bring knowledge and salvation to the rest of the world and to the rest of mankind. God is vitally concerned with us as we approach the Passover. Why? Well, because of our important part in His plan. We have a very important part, as we all know, in the plan of God. And now is the time, just before the Passover, to examine ourselves to see whether we are truly right with God and in harmony with Him and His plan. It's a time of self-examination, a time of self-examination, and I'm sure that we've all been doing it. We look at 1 Corinthians 11. Verses 27 through 29. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 through 29. You know, God inspired the Apostle Paul to write in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29. It says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Brethren, this is a warning. And this warning wouldn't be in God's word if there were not mortal danger for us, for each and every one of us. This coming Passover is a vital time, whether we have taken a Passover many times or if it's our first time. It's a vital time. And what does it mean to discern the Lord's body? How can we eat and drink unworthily? We must get into focus, and we must be, each and every one of us, getting into focus. God wants us to isolate a very basic and elementary perspective each year at the Passover. He wants us to focus on that elementary concept as we begin again to relive his plan of salvation for all mankind. So therefore, the Passover is a time for us to once again get to the elementary precepts of our own salvation, our own relationship to God and his work. It's a time to examine ourselves. We can get so absorbed in our work or in the deeper things, the seemingly important things, that we forget we have to get and keep ourselves right with God. So let's look at the elementary principles. The elementary principles. No matter how long we've been in God's church or how spiritual we've become, we're still human beings. We're still human beings with human nature. And not one of us will ever come to a place in our lives when we can afford to forget what we are. Just before the Passover, we should take another look. A long, hard, good look. And see what man is like. Let's look at Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 states, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And then follow up with Romans 8, verse 7. Romans 8, verse 7. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." So yes, this is a kind of nature all human beings have. We all have it. We're human. And this is the time of the year to especially remember that fact. It's also a time to rehearse and reaffirm what we have done with the knowledge that we have that kind of nature. The truth of the matter is, man's heart is wickedly inclined. We know it. He is deceitful, totally opposed to the ways of God. And most men do not have the slightest awareness that they have this kind of nature in them. But it's true. You know, Satan, in hiding this truth for mankind, has done his job well. He's done his job well. So we must look at the environment, too. We must look at the environment, too. Mankind does not know that this world is not God's world, at least yet. God is allowing Satan to rule this world for a time. He's allowing Satan to seduce man through man's mind and fleshly pulls to want the evil things of this world. It's a pull, and it's every day. Satan is the present ruler of this world, and he's blinding men's minds to the truth that we've been given this privilege to understand. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 5. "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake." So in our examination, let's realize what kind of basic nature we have and what kind of world that we live in. You know, we live as light in darkness. Each and every one of us. We live as light in a dark world. So for each of us who are the elect, light, and understanding has come by the calling of God's Holy Spirit. Through God's infinite mercy, we were called. We were called as one of His elect. Think about that. We were called as one of His elect to see ourselves and our environment as they really are. We see it. This was a miracle in our life. It was like the blinders were pulled off and we can see. God sent His Holy Spirit to open our minds to the real knowledge. And by it, He opened our minds to see ourselves. To see ourselves. We were led to see what human nature was like. What human nature was like. What we were like. And we were led to see how Satan has influenced us. How Satan was influenced us along with all of mankind. So we came to repentance, a change in ourselves, because that's what repentance is. Let's look at Romans 7. Romans 7, and we're going to take a look at verse 15, verse 18, and also verse 24. Romans 7, verses 15, 18, and 24. The words of the Apostle Paul became our words. And beginning in verse 15 of Romans 7. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. And then we see in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? So we came to repentance. We came to repentance and then we were baptized. We went through an outward symbol of death. And baptism is a picture of death, burial, and resurrection. And we were immersed into a watery grave and brought up in a type of resurrection. But a resurrection of what? Well, let's move on to Romans 6, verses 2 through 4. Romans 6, verses 2 through 4. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So having seen ourselves for what we really were, we wanted to stop being God's enemy. We wanted to stop being God's enemy. We asked God to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ's life for our sins and carnal mind. We openly before God showed Him by our baptism what we truly wanted, for our evil carnality to die and to be changed into having the kind of nature that is no longer God's enemy. When God saw this genuine heartfelt attitude, He put His Holy Spirit within us and begat us as His own child. But that isn't the end of the story. That isn't the end of the story. It's not the end. Now began what is perhaps the hardest part of all for every one of us. Having crucified in a sense, the old nature, we each soon found that the old nature wasn't dead. We're not perfect, though we wished for it to be destroyed. We found it still had life and vigor. And that's just the point. That's just the point. God intended this way for a vital purpose. God wants us to comprehend the real depth of evil, the real depth of evil, wickedness, and deceitfulness that's in each and every one of us. God's allowing us to live on with our flesh, with our fleshly natures, and in alien environment to teach us how really and profoundly evil that we've been, and how often we still fall short. We fall short each and every day. We know that we've crucified the man to the intent that the body of sin, our very nature, might be destroyed. And we know that once we are resurrected or changed at Jesus' return, we will be freed. We will be freed from this kind of nature forever. But until that time comes, we must reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and living with righteous life, living for a righteous life. Let's look in Romans 6 and verse 12. Romans 6 and verse 12, the struggle then begins. The struggle then begins. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Romans 6 and verse 12. So when we were first baptized, you know, we're called babes in Christ. Nevertheless, the fact that we have come to a miraculous and profound knowledge at baptism, we are still just beginning a life of overcoming. It's a continuous life of overcoming. And we need to grow. We need to grow and mature in understanding and perspective. We see in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. We need to grow. We need to grow as newborn babes. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And then 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. You know, as we grow in a deeper and more profound knowledge of spiritual things, our ability to see overcomes because we become more acute. We see things about ourselves and our natures that we never saw at baptism. You know, it's progress. It's what God intended. And God's now asking us once again to partake of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Has this year convinced us that we have come to the place that we no longer need the sacrifice of Christ? Or, rather, has it convinced us that we need it even more? That we need it even more profoundly than ever before? And we all know the answer to that. Certainly we've grown in personal overcoming of sin. And certainly we've grown in Bible understanding and spiritual knowledge. But have we grown in personally knowing we need Jesus Christ more than ever before? more than ever before? And have we grown in completely trusting Him? Have we grown in completely trusting Him, whether for healing by means of His broken body or salvation through the value of His blood that once coursed through that body, or in any kind of day-to-day need in which He is our advocate to intervene in our on our behalf? Brethren, we must be ready for the Passover. We must be ready for the Passover. Each year, God commands us to live through again His holy days, which picture His plan of salvation to the world. Each year, we begin again with the primary beginning, the Passover, the acceptance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And as we start the holy day season again, it should be with a renewed eagerness. It should be with more fervent desire to take those precious symbols, because we know far more deeply their meaning to us and to the world. It's not with a humdrum routine approach that we begin each year. You know, we can't come upon these days with a half-hearted, apathetic approach. If we do, we may eat and drink unworthily. No one is worthy, you know, or a worthy person. None of us are worthy. Totally understanding how unworthy of Christ's great sacrifice we are makes us ready to take the Passover with full understanding. And this is the only way that we can partake it worthily, that is, in a worthy manner and attitude. God wants His people to approach the Passover with the most earnest and heartfelt desire, that desire for the forgiveness of Christ, individually and ultimately for the world. So again, are we ready to take the Passover? Are we ready to take the Passover? No man has lived another year in the flesh without the presence or with the presence of the Holy Spirit can approach the Passover without a deeper and a more sincere need for the sacrifice of Christ. And we see in Luke 22, verses 19 and 20. Luke 22, verses 19 and 20. And He took the bread. He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And in verse 20, likewise He took the cup after supper, saying, "This is a new covenant in My blood, which is shed for you." These words should be more living and personal for us than ever before. You know, we begin again with the Passover, picturing God's plan of salvation for the entire world. It's not just a personal salvation for us alone. There are a lot of human lives going down the drain all around us. The utter hopelessness of a dying civilization sends its groaning up into our consciousness every day. We see how the world is. We who have been given the knowledge of the only way out of this world ought to groan within ourselves. To grow within ourselves for that time, they too can be delivered from the bondage of corruption, from the bondage of corruption of which we've been made so accurately aware. Each new year of holy day observances should be from a higher level of awareness with a greater sense of earnestness for the fulfillment. Has this past year brought us a deeper dedication? Are we deeper dedicated? Are we behind God's work? Are we behind God's work with our very lives and all that our lives can produce? Or are the annual holy days just another humdrum routine again? John 3:16, scripture we all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then skipping down to verse 18 of John 3. John 3 and verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If we truly believe in God's purpose through Jesus Christ and are going all out for that purpose in our lives, then we are properly discerning the Lord's body and are eating and drinking eternal life unto ourselves. But if our life and actions show a half-hearted, lethargic support and dedication to his work, we are eating and drinking damnation to ourselves, not discerning, not understanding the full meaning of the Lord's body. So what do we do? What do we do? We make it personal. We make it personal. Brethren, there's still time to examine ourselves and make this Passover season a personal thing between us and between God. Look deeply into our lives. And have we been just coasting? Have we been just coasting? Were we going to let this be just another lethargic Passover season? If this is true, then we desperately need the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the lethargy which God's Holy Spirit has led us to see in ourselves. Just as we should have been led to see many other things about ourselves over this past year. For every growing Christian, each Passover should be a more profound experience. A more profound experience in which our Savior and our God grows more personal, more precious, and more wonderful. So are we ready to take the Passover? Will we be ready? During the supper that Passover evening, Jesus rose and girded himself with a towel and began to wash the disciples' feet. Don't turn there, but we see that in John 13, verses 2 through 5. John 13, verses 2 through 5. Peter, impulsive and naive, didn't want to let Jesus stoop to washing his feet. But Jesus said to him, "If I wash not your feet, then you have no part with me." Well, Peter, of course, did want to have part with Christ and consented. So then in John 13, verses 12 through 17, John 13, verses 12 through 17, Jesus then said, "So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. We will wash one another's feet on Passover. But again, it's an outward symbol. It's an outward symbol or an attitude, an action in our lives. One of serving the brethren and being willing to give of ourselves in humility for the purposes of God. Do we have a part with Jesus Christ? Are we in a foot-washing attitude? Are we in a foot-washing attitude all year long, not just around Passover time? That's what the outward symbol of foot-washing we will partake of truly means. And that's what the foot-washing we will partake of truly means. We are discerning the Lord's body. Or are we perhaps like Peter, not wanting to let the purpose of our God be to take form of a servant? A growing, discerning Christian knows his God has called him to be humble and to humble himself as a servant of brethren and of people and of mankind. So, the time is now. The Passover is just ahead of us, and we've had another year to live, to experience, and to grow. The panorama of our lives is there before us with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So we'll conclude with one more final scripture. Let's look at Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5. Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and he did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. We are healed. Let's notice that last part again. By his stripes we are healed. So brethren, this is why we must be ready for the Passover.